You are Locked On Cougars. This is your daily podcast focused on the BYU Cougars on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jay Catch, your host here on the podcast. Thanks for joining me for this Thursday edition of the show. We have BYU basketball in action tonight, both the men's and women's teams. We'll get to those games coming up. Also hear from Dave Rose, more about the Jashear Hardnett situation that'll be covered here in this first segment. Second segment of the show, BYU men's volleyball. High expectations for this team with three national titles and three runs to the national title match in recent years. Do these guys with a kind of a new look team want to live up to the current expectations? Do they expect to have those expectations heaped upon them? You'll hear from their head coach, Sean Olmstead, as well as Gabby Garcia Fernandez, one of the best players on that team in the second segment of the show. We'll talk a little bit more about that as they get ready to start their season tonight. The number five Cougars against number seven Ohio State. And in the final segment, we'll catch you up on everything else we haven't touched on in today's show with Quick Hits. So that's the layout of today's show. Thanks again for joining me. One of the best things about modern technology is the ease of use. If you got a new smart speaker for Christmas or over the holiday season or even any time in the past year or so, you actually can use it to listen to the podcast without having to do any of the hard work yourself. All you have to do is use your voice. Tell it to play podcast Locked On Cougars, and there you go. You'll have this podcast that covers all things BYU for you each and every day. All right, without further ado, let's get going. This is Locked On Cougars for January 10th, 2019. All right, the never-ending saga that is Jashear Hardnett and his status with the BYU basketball team appears to have been resolved. Dave Rose, who you'll hear in a moment, said yesterday that Jashear Hardnett was back with the team and practicing and would be available for tonight's game against Portland. BYU takes on the Portland Pilots at the Marriott Center, the first game in roughly a month for the Cougars as they continue WCC play. Tip-off set for 7 o'clock Mountain Time on BYU TV. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler on the call there. You also hear Greg Rubel and Mark Durant on the radio call on the BYU Sports Network that way. BYU is a heavy favorite in this game. I saw at time of recording, BYU currently a 17-point favorite in this game. Should show you the disparity between BYU, who is scuffling along this season, and where Portland stands. Portland's one of the worst teams in the WCC. It's an improved West Coast Conference, but Portland lagging behind a little bit. Terry Porter, the former NBA player and coach, now coaching the Pilots, brings Portland to the Marriott Center, but BYU should win this game. If they don't, I think we can officially put BYU on bottom falling out watch if they were to lose this game tonight. Some news for you real quick before we get to more of the Jashear Hardnett thing is some big honors for Yoli Childs I wanted to mention. He's been named to the midseason watch list for the 2018-19 Lute Olson Award, as well as the 2018-19 Lou Henson Award. Both of those awards are presented by the collegeinsider.com website. The Lute Olson Award is awarded annually to the nation's top Division I player, so it's essentially their version of the Heisman in college football. The Lou Henson Award is presented to the nation's top mid-major player. BYU, they're not in the Power 5 Conference. They're considered among the mid-majors in college basketball, but it's cool to see Yoli Childs getting some pub for his play. He's been very good, multiple double-doubles this year, and hats off to him for those honors. All right, now back to Jashear Hardnett. Dave Rose yesterday, you'll hear it here in just a second. He got pretty animated with the media yesterday, and I didn't necessarily take too much offense to it, but it was kind of dumb in my mind. You'll hear in a moment for Dave Rose to act like the reports weren't out there that Jashear Hardnett had quit. I talked to multiple people beyond the initial report from Vanquish the Foe that Jashear Hardnett had every intention of leaving the team and transferring. He had a meeting with the coaches and some administrative folks at BYU to kind of explain the situation to him. Said, hey, you got to finish out this year. You got to graduate. If you want out, you can transfer at that point, because if you transfer now, you miss this semester and the first semester or whatever new school you're at in terms of that transfer period. If you wait a year to play, I think Jashear Hardnett came to an understood, hey, I've got to see this thing out. I've got to finish school by April, buckle down, get it done. And then I can transfer without penalty and play my final year elsewhere or potentially stay at BYU. But it was just kind of weird for Dave Rose to act like there was no report, etc. You'll hear it here. But I almost thought he was joking at first, and I realized he was pretty serious about that question that you're about to hear. So without further ado, here's Dave Rose yesterday speaking to the media, talking about the Jashier Hardnett situation, the team's psyche ahead of this game against Portland before finally transitioning into more talk about the Pilots and the WCC as a whole. So Dave Rose, BYU head coach, yesterday during media availability.
When you have a situation like you have with Jashier right now, what kind of effect can that have on your team?
It can have a real positive effect. You know, guys are all committed to each other and committed to the team. And one thing with this group is that we've been through some hard stuff together. And I think that brings us in a place where, you know, we can kind of rally around each other and try and help each other get through tough times. And you know, what we're looking forward now is just, you know, a real positive approach to our conference season. We went on the road, got a split, and now we're looking forward to trying to protect our home court. So,
do you have an update on Fisher's status?
Yeah, Shear's practicing. He's excited. You know, Shear and I talk every week, and we have long conversations, and we've got a really good relationship as far as understanding each other. And I know exactly what he wants, and he knows exactly what I want, and we're both committed to the same thing. So looking forward to, you know, moving on.
Will he be available to play tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So it's essentially just water under the bridge at this point. You move on.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. What are you guys all talking about?
There have been reports that Jashier had
quit. A report from the university?
No.
Okay. So let's just move on.
Will he start tomorrow night?
No, I don't think so. He didn't start the other night. I don't think he'll start. But that still hasn't been determined. We'll figure it out, you know, when we put our final game plan together.
How excited are you guys to be back home after nearly?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm really excited to be home. Yeah, and I think that our guys are excited to be home too. It's tough when we put it together. You know, we knew it'd be a tough run. Didn't expect the outcome to be what it's been, but knew it was a possibility. And I think with that, we'll learn from the experience as far as this group binding together and attacking the next issue. And we got 8 home games. We got 6 road games as far as the league is concerned, and hopefully we can prepare and play well enough to win them all.
What are you seeing from Portland? Maybe give us a little scouting report on them.
Their guards are really good. They spread the floor really well. They can shoot it, you know, from deep. What worries me the most is their penetration. JoJo Walker and Marcus Shaver, both guys who can put it on the deck and just, you know, get in between, you know, get past defenders and in between guys, and then other guys can get open. So hopefully we can stay in front of them. We can find ways to keep them on the perimeter and then challenge their threes. And then we've got to be good offensively. Defensively, it's a good team. They change their defenses a lot. They'll pick guys and deny them the ball. And, you know, we'll hopefully not be so concerned about the defense they're in and more concerned about our ability to execute what we're trying to run and what we're trying to do.
You talked last night on the coach's show about how teams are kind of attacking your guards, take them to the rim. What sort of things can you do to try to stop that from happening?
Well, I think you can scheme that a little bit, you know, and we put in a few, you know, new wrinkles into things that hopefully will help us. But a lot of that is just, you know, guys taking, you know, individual responsibility for, you know, who they're guarding, how they're playing. I mean, we've played some really big, talented, athletic guys that have, you know, kind of had their way with us, and hopefully we can get that switch, get that turned around.
Do you feel like part of that game plan the team's having is due to your lack of size on the interior?
Yeah, I think some of that is that. I also believe that it's really, you know, isolating and exposing some of our depth issues, that they're going right at certain guys to try to get them in foul trouble, and they know that we're playing a couple guys a lot of minutes, and a couple guys are really, you know, we really depend on the offensive end, and so I think that can be a scheme. But, you know, everybody's got a plan of attack, and hopefully ours is better than theirs.
There you go, Dave Rose, and pretty animated at first, but he calmed down, and I appreciate him asking my my question about being back home was a good question, but I'm not going to dig too hard at Dave. I understand it's a tough time because he's trying to get this team back on track. He understands that it's important for his team to pick up some wins. They're happy to be back home, but just for him to act like the reports, he's like, reports from the university? No, Dave. BYU's not going to come out and put a report out there that says that one of your third leading scorer has left the team. That's not going to happen. He acknowledged it on his BYU TV coaches show. He could have addressed it a little better in my mind yesterday with us as the general media, but it is what it is. It's water under the bridge is the term I used for Jashir Harnott before he really unloaded on us. He didn't necessarily unload. He just kind of refuted everything we talked about, and it is what it is. But the good news is Jashir Harnott, the third leading scorer, averaging almost 11 points a game, is available for BYU tonight. You heard Dave Rose said probably not going to start, but is available to play, and that's good news for BYU. So we'll see how they do tonight. Portland, not a great team. I'm not going to bore you with specifics on these guys because they are a bottom half of the WCC team, but we'll break the game down after it's played on tomorrow's podcast. But I wanted to let you hear from Dave Rose as he addressed the Jashir Harnett situation and the status of his, one of his better players on this year's team. All right, we will take a timeout here. We'll come back. I know we don't talk a lot of volleyball in terms of a featured subject, but BYU men's volleyball, one of the more popular sports on campus, high-flying action, a team that's got three national titles in their history, has made three runs to the national title match in recent seasons. Very high expectations for this team. You'll hear from Sean Olmstead and some of his players next as they get ready for their season opener tonight. That's all coming up next right here on Locked On Cougars. Welcome back to Locked On Cougars, your daily podcast focused on the BYU Cougars. Tell your smart speakers, play podcast Locked On Cougars. You can find us real easy. Your Alexa, your Google Home, whatever you got, it takes care of the job for you. You don't have to actually do any work, really. You just got to use your voice to hear the latest and greatest in BYU news. BYU men's volleyball ranked fifth in the country. They're going to begin their season tonight as they host Ohio State, who's ranked seventh in the country. BYU men's volleyball, similar to the women's volleyball team in recent years, but a kind of a longer extended run. BYU men's volleyball, multiple national titles in their history. The three from 99 to the 2004 run was the greatest in BYU history. But in the last 5 or 6 years, they've made three runs to the national title match, have come up short in all of their attempts to bring home another national title. But the expectation and the, I guess, the hype around this team is that they're going to be in the mix at the end of each season. I had a chance to go out to media availability earlier this week, speak with Sean Olmstead, as well as a star sophomore, Gabby Garcia-Fernandez, their opposite hitter. Of course, the national freshman of the year a year ago, a 6'7" sophomore. Had a chance to speak to both him and Coach Olmstead about the expectations for this team and how they live up to them. We'll hear from Gabby Garcia-Fernandez first here. He's a guy who's from Puerto Rico. He really understands the whole dynamic of what's going on with BYU, but he also understands the history of this program and where they've been and where they want to get to. So here you go, Gabby Garcia-Fernandez speaking to us with the media earlier this week about the expectations for this team and trying to live up to them.
What sorts of goals does this team have this year?
As any team, just winning the national championship, you know, we want to be there by May. You know, we want to be in the big spot again. As a team, we just want to make sure everybody's together on the same page and, you know, be a team most part, and then just win a natty.
You guys have made multiple runs to that national championship match in recent years. How do you guys deal with the hype and the expectation of what's going on with that?
We know we're a good team. We know we have the talent, the ability, and to get to the big spot. And we just concentrate on things we can control. You know, we cannot control thing, you know, other stuff that other people have control of. You know, we cannot control how the other teams play and everything. We can just control what we do. So mainly be focused on what we do, and we just do that and then get back to the national championships again.
There you go, Gabby Garcia Fernandez. He is going to be one of BYU's best players this year. I'm very excited to see what he can do. Of course, his head coach, Sean Olmstead, was very high on what Gabby is able to do. He was talking to the media earlier this week, and he was asked some similar questions to Gabby about the expectations for this team, having that preseason number 5 ranking despite losing a number of contributors a year ago. You'll hear Coach Olmstead address the number 5 ranking and what he thinks of preseason rankings, essentially, and then also, he gets asked a follow-up question about the expectation of this team to be in the national title hunt or bust. And here you go, Sean Olmstead earlier this week with the media.
You talk about losing that core. I mean, he's got that preseason number 5 ranking. Is that just almost, you feel like it's just a reflection of
consistency? It's for sure. I've never been one, I think you guys know that, to ever look into that. I think we got to lace them up and we got to go play. It doesn't matter who. And, you know, all of that is more of a reflection of the program and the consistency of so many great players and so many great coaches in the past. And so it's always good to be in the talks. You got to be in the talks for sure. But in the end, we just want to be in a position where months down the road, we're becoming the best team that we can become. And we're definitely not there right now. Nobody is in the country. So that's why we all get to have these competitions and these matches and see how things unfold. And that's the exciting part about all sports and all seasons, you know. And so you kind of throw that out and great, but we've got to play, the whistle's got to blow, and then we go compete.
Is the program to the point where the goal now is national championship, just because you got,
I mean, I think I've been, you know, in my coaching career, I've been at programs where you don't want to walk in the room and go, hey, we want to win the national championship. That's not realistic. Let's be smart about it. You know, good things will happen. And hey, let's start here and kind of progress from there. But, you know, this team and this program, you know, that has been the talk. And these guys have been on the cusp of doing that. You know, they've been in that match, starting with Ohio State. You know, they were the team that took that away from us twice. And so, We always talk about where we want to be in conference, and I think if we can be in a good spot in our conference every year, and then we're going to be in a good spot nationally, where realistically, yeah, we are in a position where we can talk about competing for a national championship. But I think it's important to be smart about how we approach that in terms of our progression. As I told the guys, what's going to happen this year is we're going to win matches, but guys, we're going to lose matches, and we've got to have the right mindset as we progress and grow from those moments and how we react to those losses.
There you go, Sean Olmstead, BYU head coach. Thank him and Gabby Garcia Fernandez before that for taking the time to talk with us during media availability. It's going to be an interesting season ahead for the Cougars, ranked number 5. They have 2 top 15 teams this weekend at home. They host Ohio State tonight at 7 o'clock Mountain Time at the Smith Fieldhouse. It'll be broadcast on the W.TV, so streaming online. They'll follow that up with a match on Saturday night against number 14 Ball State. Also at 7 o'clock Mountain Time, streamed on the W.TV before they head out on the road for 4 games as they get ready for MPSF play. This is going to be a season where BYU has a new look, and Sean Olmstead talked about that earlier this week. There's a number of players who graduated from this team, but they've replaced them with some very, very talented players. Gabby Garcia Fernandez, I think, is going to be BYU's leading player this year, the native of Puerto Rico. Storm Faagata Tufunga from Long Beach, California, I think is a great player. He's not the tallest guy in terms of guys in volleyball. He's only 6'3", and you think of volleyball, men's volleyball in particular, if you're not 6'6" or taller, normally you are a libero, but but at 6'3", he's actually quite the effective outside hitter. So look out for Storm this year. Volleyball, of course, you have guys, you have to have a libero that's very good, and BYU still looking to kind of figure that position out. According to Sean Olmstead, he expects the three guys at that position to compete and also contribute to a large degree. Taylor Richards, a senior who's actually a local from Provo, Utah, Timpanogos High School, should be a guy to keep an eye on. Two guys that I'm very excited for. One is a freshman who comes here from Italy. I think he's going to be an absolutely incredible player. Davide Gardini, 6'9" outside hitter. He's native of Italy. His father's a three-time Olympian, and the Italian men's volleyball is one of the most dynastic things when it comes to Olympic volleyball. Got a great family that is all about volleyball. He's got the size, like I mentioned, at 6'9", an outside hitter, a freshman. I was able to watch a little bit of volleyball practice the other day, and he was absolutely pummeling the volleyball. And it's practice, I get it. You have to see what they do in games, but this kid has strong genes, and he comes from a volleyball family. I'm very excited to see him play. And the other player that I'm excited to see this year is Mickey Juhainenen. He's the middle blocker from Tampere, Finland. 6'8", a great player. According to Coach Olmstead, had a 4.0 GPA at BYU last semester, so getting it done in the classroom as well as on the court. And it's going to be an exciting season ahead for the Cougars. We'll keep you updated as things progress for this team throughout the year. But it's an exciting time. BYU men's volleyball, it's almost a different sport in my mind than women's volleyball, because you have so many guys who can just absolutely fly through the air. They're already all tall, but they just get it done. So get out to the Smith Fieldhouse if you're not interested in watching BYU basketball tonight. You can catch the men's volleyball team in their season opening match. The Smith Fieldhouse is always rocking, and the atmosphere is second to none in my mind. All right, we will take our penultimate timeout on today's podcast right now. We will come back, talk a little bit more about BYU football, got some notes we need to touch on, as well as catching up on where the other sports in the BYU athletic department are in action tonight. So that's all coming up next right here on Locked On Cougars. Locked On Cougars. This is the daily podcast focused on the BYU Cougars. Proud to be part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which is the number one daily sports podcast network in America. My name is Jay Catch, and as we wrap up today's show, I want to thank you guys for your continued support of the show. Please share with your family and friends that are BYU fans. Let them know that this is a daily podcast, gets them all the BYU news that they need to know about, and gets it done in about 30 minutes or less. We try to keep it around 25 minutes so that we're not keeping you too long, but you are up to date on everything you need to know about BYU sports. And also, if you guys haven't had an opportunity to do so, or you've been procrastinating it, I would really appreciate if you guys would subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcatcher you use, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever you use, Pocket Casts. Also, subscribe and then rate and review. Give us a 5-star review. It's worth its weight in gold in the podcast world, and I would really appreciate your guys' help with that. I know we spent a lot of time recently talking about transfers from the BYU football program. Well, you can add another one, and I wasn't going to take another segment and talk about it. I feel like we're beating a dead horse almost with it, but offensive lineman Jacob Jimenez has announced that he will be pursuing a graduate transfer from BYU. So similar format to what we talked about with Isaiah Armstrong and also Akile Davis and Riley Burt. All these guys getting their degrees done. They have 1 year remaining, looking like they're going to be buried a little bit on the depth chart. Don't see a clear path to seeing where they're going to play at a high level and have a large amount of playing time and want to go elsewhere. So as I've said multiple times on this podcast, they have fulfilled their end of the deal if they have graduated, gotten that degree, because it helps BYU with that APR rating. But it also gives them that degree that they are armed with going out there, and they can go get a graduate degree at a new program, whatever they decide to do, and I wish them the best of luck. Hans Olsen, who I work with at the Zone Sports Network in my day job, he tweeted out a list yesterday of guys he seen looking to transfer from BYU. And we'll run down that list real quick, and two names still on this list that I am actually a little bit surprised to see. So the first is Johnny Tapuasoa, a former linebacker turned fullback, suffered a season-ending knee injury earlier this year. I expected that he would be in the mix to contribute at fullback, but if he's unhappy with his position maybe, or just his ability to get on the field, hey, I can understand why he's looking to go. I haven't seen anything official from Tapuasoa on Twitter or social media, etc., but I respect Hans and his ability to report things. He mentioned Jacob Jimenez, who we just mentioned. He talked about Christian Folau, who is looking like he might go to place like Utah State or Utah. We'll keep you updated on that. Akile Davis, the wide receiver, could be looking to transfer a little closer to home in Texas, a graduate transfer. Riley Burt, Box Elder High School alum, could be a guy that could go pretty much anywhere. I'm not sure where Riley would go. I could see a Utah State being in the mix for him, being from Northern Utah, but he's a graduate transfer. Isaiah Armstrong, a kid from California, I could see him maybe transferring a little closer to home as well. Wayne Tay Kirby, not a graduate transfer, but I've heard that he might be looking at going to Idaho State. He's a native of Pocatello, which is where Idaho State is located. He's had numerous issues in terms of getting on the field, keeping himself in shape. We'll see if he ultimately is able to suit up for the Bengals. And the final name on Hans Olsen's list is Peyton Wilgar, a kid from Dixie High School in St. George, Utah. He was a preferred walk-on for BYU. All reports were that the BYU coaching staff was very high on his abilities. He was a walk-on, so he can transfer essentially without penalty, but kind of surprising to see a freshman decide that he is done at BYU. I don't know what the circumstances are, but I wish him the best, and hopefully he can find what he's looking for at his next stop if he does choose to pursue that transfer. All right, in other news as we wrap things up today, we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. I'll do a little more research on this, but BYU ranked number 5 in the Learfield Directors Cup final fall standings. Of course, this is a cup that goes annual. It's just the Stanford annual Learfield Cup. But Stanford, of course, has a very well-rounded athletic department. They usually win this award every year, but BYU ranked number 5 in the country after a very strong fall season. So hats off to the BYU Cougars. That mainly would reflect back on the BYU women's soccer team, the volleyball team, and the cross country teams with all of their nationally ranked finishes or making to the NCAA tournament. BYU football didn't necessarily hurt them too bad getting to a bowl game, but number 5, if I'm not mistaken, is the highest BYU's ever been ranked, at least at the end of the fall standing. So a top 5 finish for the Cougars. Congratulations. We'll talk a little bit more about that on tomorrow's podcast. Also wanted to update you guys on the men's and women's track and field teams. They are going to be in action this weekend at the Smith Fieldhouse as well. They've got the BYU Indoor Invite going on. That begins today and runs through Saturday. Events going on throughout the Smith Fieldhouse on the indoor track, as well as their throwing facility indoors there. If you want to go out and support the Cougars in track and field, you can do that. The women's basketball team is in action tonight. They'll be facing Pacific in Stockton, California at 8 o'clock Mountain Time. That game will be streamed live on the W.TV if you want to catch the women's basketball team in action. Looking to keep a perfect record in conference play. It's a cool thing to see. I talked about the two media members, by the way, that had the bet on BYU's over-under on the win total. Well, I was told just the other day that the bet has been paid off. The media member who lost out didn't welch on the bet, so hats off, and cool to see the women's basketball team exceeding expectations by the media and the public, I think, at large. They're having a very good season to this point. All right, so there you go. That is today's show, Thursday edition of the show. Tomorrow, recapping how BYU does against Portland tonight and also getting you ready for the game on Saturday. I will also update you on all the other teams. There's a big weekend ahead, a lot of sports beginning their seasons, women's gymnastics, hosting number 3 Utah at home, the tennis teams in action, swimming and diving. There's a lot to get to. Men's tennis and the men's basketball, of course, getting ready to host Santa Clara, who is an upstart program that BYU will have to keep an eye on. We'll break that down for you on tomorrow's show. And thanks, as always, for your continued support of the podcast. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great day. This has been Locked On Cougars for January 10th, 2019.